The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Christian Jack is a sales coach. He is a growth consultant and fractional CRO. He is the founder of Sales Dojo. Welcome to the show, Christian.
Thanks for having me, George. Appreciate it.
Excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Man, well, I am a husband. I am a cat dad. So I've been married for a few years, had a cat for a few years, but that's about it. I'm a son. I'm a brother. I'm a Christian through and through. That probably drives most of what I do. And then professionally, man, I've been a lot of different things, but most recently is I don't know if I qualify as a guru yet, but I'm working on it, you know, a sales guru, sales authority, maybe. That's how I would describe it. So I help everybody from, budding sales professionals who are getting into the sales space, wanting to get better at sales, all the way through to helping companies maximize profits and revenue through sales strategies and everything in between. So it's a great time.
I appreciate that. So I just read off fractional CRO, and I'm sitting here thinking, I'm not sure what CRO is. What's CRO?
Chief Revenue Officer. Basically, okay. I take a look at all the different streams of revenue that are coming in within a business and see how we can maximize things, how we need to reroute things in order to achieve the goals of the business. If they're wanting to grow 10%, obviously things are going to be a little bit different than if they want to, you know, double over the next year, as an example.
Excellent. So aspiring well on your way to becoming a sales guru, how does one set out on that path?
Lots of time, energy, and commitment, I would say. I've gone through a lot of different trainings. I've invested a lot of money into my own education, spent a lot of time on sales calls, selling to everybody from mom and pop wanting to get help with their fitness to closed a few multi-million dollar deals. There's acquisitions, there's all sorts of stuff within that. But I think same way you get good at anything, right? It's just doing what needs done in order to get better. And as you get better, I think the world just kind of naturally opens for you. It's really interesting.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely agree. So you're looking around, you're saying, you know what? The way that people are doing it, it's just they're missing something, something's lacking.
Yeah, I think anything in life, it's very common for people to have narrow view on things. And it's very natural. It's only natural because people have views and they have beliefs based off of the experience that they've had in their own life. And if you have had a smaller amount of experience compared to maybe somebody else, it's not a bad thing. Lots of people might think it's a bad thing. It's really not. But if you have, you know, maybe a more narrow experience than somebody else, then your belief set around what's possible in the world or how the world operates is naturally going to be a little bit more narrow in the direction of what you've experienced. So I think lots of sales trainers and salespeople will go through the biggest part of sales is obviously like getting the deal across, right? And so lots of sales professionals will spend their time getting deals across the line, but not actually studying other ways to get the deal across the line, right? They're so focused on like the day-to-day of what's right in front of them that they forget to maybe pick their head up and say, well, maybe there's a different way. Maybe there's a better way you could learn. But it's the same, I think, anywhere in life. You just get so busy doing the thing.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, life is hard. So when you figure out how to do something and it's working, well, I'm just going to
change
this thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Good and broke.
Mm-hmm. But there's more.
There is. I think there's always more. There's so much more that you can learn, so much more that you can grow. One of my favorite things that I've come across is just the connection between psychology and sales. It's very, very common for people to talk about psychology and sales, but I've gone quite down the rabbit hole of learning psychology and neuroscience to a level that not a lot of people do, and kind of brought it into sales. Kind of like if you've, I don't know if you ever watch boxing at all, but
sure.
Total tangent here. Lots of the greatest boxers in the world will also take ballet lessons. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because it helps promote balance. It helps them be lighter on their feet. They just move better and they're more successful as a boxer by bringing in elements of that discipline into what they do. And so I've done the exact same thing with sales in the dojo.
Just appreciating the value of footwork. And that's a universal in any athletic endeavor, certainly. So
that's right.
But starkly, when you're talking about boxing and then classical dancing of some kind.
For sure.
So you want to, it's kind of in an ideal world, I would be an effective salesperson and then also constantly be trying to refine my process and improve it and conduct postmortems on what went well, what could have gone better.
Always. I think it's really interesting. Something that not a lot of people think of when they're in sales is that it's one of the very few professions that you actually get game tape every time. Every time. I know you were in a past life scholarship D1 athlete, right? So you understand the value of watching back your performances. And not a lot of people think about it this way, but in sales, you get game tape for everything, right? All the calls are recorded, whether it be on Zoom, whether it be on for the phone. You can always go back and review your game tape and figure out what you did well, what you didn't do well, what you can improve, what could be maybe slightly tweaked in order to get a better outcome. And you'd be surprised how few salespeople actually go back and listen to all of their calls and listen to what they could improve. They just kind of go through day to day, just butting their head up against the wall, seeing the same thing and like wondering why are things so hard? Why aren't they working as well as they could?
Yeah, I imagine it's 1% or 2%. It's less than 5 probably.
Oh yeah.
People that are actually doing that.
Might be less than 1.
Mm-hmm. I certainly believe that that's true. So from your all of your experience, your personal studying and just talking to countless salespeople and helping people work through these processes, is there something that aside from being reflective and trying to just grow, are there common through lines that you see that people are missing?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing that people miss, and it's, again, just completely normal, completely rational why, is when you're going for an outcome and you're selling or, you know, and everything is sales at the end of the day. If you are a manager selling your team on the vision of the company to help them have more energy day to day and be motivated. If you are a teacher talking to your students, if you are an employee trying to get a raise or a promotion from your manager, everybody's in sales. And so anytime that you are selling, whether it be even just to your manager to get a promotion, the reason you're selling is because you want an outcome, right? But the problem is that oftentimes you get so attached to the outcome that it taints the rest of the process. It's almost like if you are, you know, wandering through a forest, right? And you're so focused on the end point, you see like a light at the end, it is there and then it disappears, it's there and it disappears. And you're so focused on that, you might end up missing the root that's on the ground right in front of you that's going to cause you to trip and fall, right? And so if you're so focused on the outcome of getting the sale, of getting the promotion or whatever it is that you want in life, more often than not, that's the actual thing that's stopping you from getting it in the first place, is that attraction to that thing and the desire to want to get it, which again is completely normal, completely rational, but it's that that commission breath, as people kind of talk about with sales, and you can get it even if you're not earning commissions, even if the commission is that promotion.
Totally. if I'm so blinded by my desire to get my kids to do one thing and I push on that at all costs and forget everything else when the answer just could be simply just something really, really easy. I can see that happening all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a part of the process that you focus on? I mean, sales is it's big. I have to identify a prospect. I have to somehow qualify. I meet with them. I present the solution. I fact find. I try to close. It's all these things.
Yeah. I think the biggest part of the process that I try to focus on is the most leveraged part of the process, and it's human connection. Lots of people forget that in any endeavor in life, you're going to need other people, right? We can't go through life on our own. We're social creatures. We enjoy being part of communities, even for the lone wolf types like me. You still want to be part of things, and you still need other people in order to achieve outcomes, right? The greatest impact-driven businesses in the world and, you know, charities and everything, like, it takes a tribe. So being able to connect with other human beings, I think, is the most leveraged thing that you can do in sales or influence or in anything in your life, because really whoever has the best human connection has a leg up. Because if you think about, like, let's just say skill, right? If you're going to somebody in your life, let's say that you want to get better at, you know, throwing a baseball or something, right? And you're going to pay them to teach you to throw a baseball.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn. But hurry, these offers won't last forever. Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Nothing says summer like a rich, creamy ice cream float from Skyline. Made with two scoops of fresh vanilla ice cream and your choice of Barq's Root Beer, Barq's Red Cream Soda, or any of their Coke products. At participating Skyline locations while supplies last.
People listening to this will probably pick the opposite, but when you're in the moment, like studies have shown time and time and time again, if you have one person who's really adept and they have all the skill in the world, but they're terrible at human connection, versus somebody who has all the human connection skills in the world and no real skill, or maybe just limited compared to the other guy, people will choose the person who they connected with the most 9 times out of 10. And so if you can learn to just put aside the outcome, connect with the other human that's on the other side of the phone or the screen or the conversation, that is the most leveraged thing that you can do, because then the skills can come. You can learn skills, you can grow them over time. And I think human connections is a skill as well, but that's the skill that we probably focus on the most, knowing that, like, you know, I can give you these other videos on how to, you know, frame and how to handle objections and all these sorts of things, but it's much harder to teach how to say hello and, like, banter with another human, right? Mm-hmm. That's harder. Like, go to the bar and pick up a girl or something for once in your life. That's how you do it.
And I totally agree. How much of that, well, obviously you believe it to be teachable, learnable.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I think anything in life, you can learn. Some people are going to be more adept at it than others, just based off of probably their past experience. If you grew up and you're a fairly introverted person like I was, it is tougher to learn. So it takes more time. It takes more effort. It takes more commitment, but it is absolutely still learnable. I'm miles ahead of before I got into sales, just because I've grown the skill.
And so how do you do it?
That's a great question. I think personally, the best way to do it is just to go and do it separated from the outcome. So if you're trying to get a promotion, right, and you're going to be talking to your boss about how to get the promotion, what they want to see from you, you know, characteristics, projects, KPIs, whatever, try talking to your boss about other things separate from that outcome. Or try talking to other people who are kind of almost like a boss figure, people who are above you or like a manager or something like that. If you're, you know, a salesperson talking to prospects, prospects are just regular people on the day to day, right? Maybe they fall within a certain niche or industry or something. Go try to just talk to those people separate from the sale, just to say hi, just to see like what's going on in their life, what they value, what they don't like, just start a conversation. And I use the example, go to the bar, because that's one of my favorite things. I literally just tell my students all the time, if you have a problem with drinking, like don't go to the bar. But if you don't have a drinking problem, like go to the bar, just say hi to people, sit down next to somebody that you have no idea who they are, what they do, and see how far you can go in the conversation, right? And practice those things just in a day-to-day life. I can't tell you how many times I've been at like the grocery store checking out, right? When I don't order it here, I do that a little too much. I go out, I go to the grocery store, I'm at the checkout, and this person just looks like they're having a shit day, like terrible. And I practice being able to connect with those people and being able to lift their mood. And like, how else are you really going to practice that? In my opinion, I think that's probably one of the only ways that you can do it. Because like you can maybe have a friend or a spouse or a partner or a brother or sister that you live with, but like you know them. They're not a stranger. So I think it helps to go out and just meet strangers. Again, try to find the same type of person who you're going to be selling to. If you're selling yourself for a promotion, if you're selling your you know, your business to investors, whatever it might be, try to find those people and just connect with them separate from the sale. That's the biggest key.
Yeah. I think that's really, really solid and makes a ton of sense. And all of those natural opportunities at the grocery store or wherever you're at, and then creating not unnatural, but putting yourself in the intentional position to be connecting with strangers is without question can be wildly uncomfortable, but immensely valuable. Do you recommend people use humor, people use empathy? Is it all of it?
I think it's all of it. There's some people who are going to be naturally averse to a stranger coming up to them and like trying to crack a joke. There are some things that might typically work a little bit better. Number one is curiosity. Number two is confusion. And then number three, I would say, is a very mild edification. So like building up somebody in, you know, what they view as important to them. And part of that, you have to learn how to like profile people and see what they do like. But sometimes correcting the record, I would say, is also another one. So if I go into, I teach my students this process when they get a little bit into the higher levels of the dojo, we start really talking about more of what I call like the dark arts of sales, getting information that you didn't actually ask for. And I teach us, so like go to grocery store, right? Or Target, department store, or something like that. You go up to an employee and the goal is to not ask them any questions, but find out how much they make like per hour. Very specific. You can't come across as like you're interrogating them or like asking too deep of a question. Cause if you just walk up to somebody and you're like, how much do you make an hour? Some people will be like, eh, like really put off by it. So the question is, how do you do it? The exercise is to go up to them, start them talking a little bit, ask if like they can help you find something in the store. So, you know, they're invested into reciprocity. And then, the question really is a statement, and it's correcting the record. You're going to say something wrong on purpose so that they can correct you, because people love to correct the record. They love to show how much they know or how much they're right, or tell other people they're wrong a lot of times. So it's a great way to just get people to talk back at you and be like, dude, I saw in the newspaper yesterday that they just raised you guys's hourly wage to $24 an hour. I thought that was just absolutely fantastic. Like, you guys 100% deserve that. That worker is going to come back to you and they're going to be like, bull, I don't get paid that much. I get paid this much. Right. And so you're using the correcting the record. People just love to play into that. And then of course, like curiosity, just naturally confusion, like the confused old man tactic coming up to somebody. People love to help confused old men. They're like, oh, let me help you, poor thing, right? And then edification. People just like to be complimented on the things that they value. right? Like, you see somebody with a nice watch on, they probably spent a lot of money on that watch because they like it. It's like, dude, that thing looks amazing. They're just gonna be like, oh, thanks so much. It's a X, Y, and Z model or whatever. I have no idea what that is, but they like it. So why not just point it out?
Those are super powerful. Giving people prompts, tools, tactics is immensely helpful because from my perspective, you just scared the heck out of so many people. The idea of walking up to somebody and trying to figure out how much money they made, no way. But then simply going through that example, I bet everybody's saying, oh, I could totally do that. And in fact, easy, I'm going to go try.
You should.
So I love those. I love correcting the record. I think that is an extremely, extremely powerful tool for starting that conversation. How do you then pivot? Let's just assume that I am in a sales conversation. Somebody agreed to meet me for coffee, and I've sort of broken the ice. We're having a nice conversation. How do I then bring it to what we're here to talk about today?
I would say so. Like if you're just human connecting, how's your day, blah, 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 blah. If you're at an actual sales appointment, you probably will want to keep that to a minimum. Keep it fairly concise. You don't want to overdo that because you don't want to set like the friend frame, if you will. Like you want to have connection, but remember that you're the consummate professional here and you're the authority. So I want to get into things like, well, I know that we only have, you know, 45 minutes here. You ready to dive in? They'll be like, yeah, I'm ready to dive in. So like, tell me a little bit about what's going on with X and Y and Z. Like why are basically getting them to say, why are we here today?
Nice.
That's it.
I got it. Do you find that people build this stuff up and they think, oh, it's gotta be this perfect thing that I'm supposed to say, when in fact it's pretty simple?
Yes, absolutely. One of my favorite things is dropping it. It will sometimes rub the certain people a wrong way, but I love to decrease tension with mistakes, right? Because if you make mistakes and you're not perfect, and if you're perfect, somebody's probably going to be a little bit nervous around you, honestly, right? Because that's abnormal. You go and talk to your friend, you know that they you know, have troubles in the bathroom. Like, you know very much how much not perfect they are. And it's great. It's why you have so much connection. And so I teach people to try to drop something maybe a little bit crude or like a curse word, even in like the first 5-10 seconds of the conversation, right? And it can be so simple. It can be in a sales context, right? Let's say that you just did that opening rapport, framing, whatever. Hey, how's it going? Maybe something like, you know what, I just kind of want to have a no bullshit conversation today about where your business is at and like what's going on. And it might, again, it could rub some people the wrong way, but more often than not, when I've used it and when my students have used it, it just opens people up because it's like, this is a real human being, right? They're not just like trying to be perfect for the sake of getting the sale. It's just a real genuine conversation. And that's why using something like crude or a curse word often really helps, because it's not really things that you think of, like the slimy put together salesman in the suit with the, you know, $100,000 watch or something trying to get the deal is going to do, because they would think that would put that deal in jeopardy, when in actuality, it humanizes you and it increases your connection.
And that's 100% part of the goal is to make this person recognize me as a regular human being and not a right off the line, you know, salesperson that's been created multiple times.
Exactly.
Would it be fair for me to start with, you know, like, oh my God, my kids this morning, you know, they dumped coffee all over me. I had to get a new shirt. I mean, these kids are maniacs, even
that's
something
perfect.
Like that.
That's perfect.
Yeah. I love it. I love it, Christian. All right. We could talk for hours. That much I know, and we'll have to have you back on to sort of dig into each or a different stage of the process, but these are super helpful. So thank you. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with the Sales Dojo?
Man, I think the best place is probably going to be, I'll give you a link after this. It'll be something like thesalesdojo.co/lifeblood. And then I'm pretty active. I'd say Facebook is my most active, but you can find me anywhere on Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn, pretty much everywhere.
All the places.
All the places.
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Christian your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to thesalesdojo.co and jump into all of the things that Christian and I have been talking about. Find him on Facebook and social media, and I will link all of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Christian.
Thanks for having me, George.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.